We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome to In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Dua and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time.
Welcome to In the Know. That was our moment of silence. Yep. For everything that's happened today. And in case you haven't noticed, I mean, you did notice, we chose a special intro for today because I don't think it's okay to be upbeat. We just want to drown in our misery and drink away all our sorrows. Mason, all right, what? I don't know how to structure this, so we're just going to go off the top here. Mason, where were you when you first saw the tweet?
Like any normal person, hopefully, in bed, because it came out at like what, well, like 6:15 a.m., 6:30 a.m., something like that. So woke up and I'd assume many of our listeners can relate to this, but it just felt like almost a relief because it, with the way the season went, it was pretty much worst case scenario after worst case scenario, and this just felt like inevitable in some ways. And not to say that there wasn't a path to reconciling things, but that just, we hit a point of no return, and seeing it kind of was lamenting some of the reactions that were going to come about the team, about different parties who may or may not have had different degrees of fault in things going down the way they did, or hot takes about the franchise and their position in New Orleans, and there was just a bunch of stuff I was not looking forward to dealing with. But on the flip side, it was, I don't think it was a huge shock at this point. So that's kind of where I was.
You don't think it was a huge shock that it happened today?
I woke up
and I was like, hold on. I woke up, saw the Woj alert. I had no idea what to think. First of all, I was like, this isn't true. I think that was my first reaction. I was like, nah, we're just kidding. Second thought was, oh, can I go back to bed and can it be the weekend again? And
yeah, like Monday morning, those assholes.
Yeah, seriously. Like, I'm waking up and I'm like, all right, well, you know, I got work and checking the phone. Let's see what the weather's like. What the fuck? Yeah, that was my thought process. And then, you know, after that, I was like, you know what? There was a wave of relief that passed over me. I was like, all right, cool. It's happening. We can get on with it. We can finally stop trying to do things to make it seem like he's going to stay or we're not going to end up trading the pick. We're not going to make stupid moves. We're not going to take $30 million worth of Mike Conley. So all that stuff was a relief to me. I was happy that stuff isn't happening. I was happy that we're not going to deal with exhaustive rumors, every single day, especially like when they go play the Lakers or anybody else on national TV. Like that was grinding. Like this whole season's just been grinding. And I think we mentioned that earlier this season. I think it kind of culminated when they did play the Lakers that one time, and then it's kind of been there since. Yeah, I was glad that we can finally move on, but like it's gonna suck, man. Like, I'll be honest, you know, me like everyone else is probably, we invested the last 7 years of our fandom in Anthony Davis and his success and this team's success and just wanting him to be the best possible player he can be, and I think he reached that. Like, he's given us everything he possibly can from a basketball standpoint. And just wanted so badly for that to work out, especially after, you know, a lot of people don't like to tie it into the Chris Paul thing, but I think it's very relevant. Chris Paul left, we had a crappy year, and then we had AD. He was, you know, the savior, Ben, you know, number one pick, new franchise name, new branding identity, new practice facility, new era. Everything was brand new, right? We got our do-over. And so a lot of us were emotionally invested in that. And I think for me, it took, what, Anthony Davis was drafted 2012, so I was in college at the time. And so from college onwards, you know, I've been following his career. And I've almost, like, you know, like, in a way, like, grown up as he's grown up in the league. And, you know, with many different moving parts of my life, different jobs, you know, I've graduated since, I've gotten another degree since, I've had three different jobs, you know, like for every part of my life that changed, you know, at least the Pelicans were there. And in this stretch, you know, AD was there, you know, something to root for, something to look forward to, despite all the ups and downs. So like from that standpoint, it just kind of sucks. And I think there's a lot of people in the same boat, but I think the Pelicans are still going to be there. Okay, AD may not be, but there's going to be the next wave of players. There's going to be, you know, more games. There's going to be an NBA season every year. And no matter what, I'm going to be a Pelican diehard fan and try to cover this team as long as I possibly can. So that's where my head's at the moment.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm right there with you on everything you said to close that out. I think the... Your point is pretty perfect about how much the season really wore on everyone. Like if we had gone straight from last summer to now, and seeing the, you know, the news about AD wanting out, it would be nothing short of shocking. Everyone would be just devastated, I think. But the fact that the season has gone the way it has, just bad, you know, bad results at every turn, it just, you know, one thing after another, it felt like they were kind of running in quicksand as a franchise. And even though this is clearly bad news, it just feels like some sort of resolution to everything. And and even though it's, you know, like I said, it sucks. I'm there too. I still remember the day that that the Pelicans won the draft lottery. Or the Hornets at the time won the draft lottery. I was moving in to my new apartment in New Orleans. It was like my last year in the city before I moved to Austin. And I wasn't even paying attention to the lottery. So I was like, this is no way. And even though I think we had the tie for the fourth best odds with Cleveland, and I was like, there's no way. I got to move. I'm doing it now. I plan to do it now. I have a friend helping me do it now. So I'm just going to do it. And my phone starts blowing up. And I was like, oh, this could only mean one thing. And it was such an incredible feeling. And looking now in the 7 years that have passed since then, and the franchise has done nothing with that opportunity. Okay, not nothing. That's not fair. But, and again, there's an element of bad luck here. It's not like they just totally screwed up every single move they made, but they messed up. The fact that the Pelicans couldn't do, I mean, the first round sweep being the highlight of Anthony Davis's tenure in New Orleans, similar to the Chris Paul era. They won one playoff series. Of course, they gave the Spurs a hell of a run in another series. And you didn't really have a Golden State Warriors level team. Well, you probably really haven't throughout most of NBA history. So that obviously throws a wrench into things, but it's a disappointment all the way around, no matter how you slice it. And I can understand the fan base being pretty fed up. I mean, that's two eras with top five, top 10 players in the league at the time that the team is mostly squandered. And so there are external factors here. The Pelicans players' health is a lot of bad luck. The fact that they're in a small market doesn't help things. But that's not to, that shouldn't exonerate those who are responsible for putting this team together and driving to success.
Ownership is the biggest competitive advantage in the NBA. It just is. Pelicans had crappy ownership during the Chris Paul era. They had crappy ownership in the transition, and they didn't have great ownership for the majority of the AD era. We don't really know how the Gail Benson era is going to shape out to be. Hoping it's going to be better, but you know, it's not been great. That being said, you know, I feel like we could wallow in our misery for a while. Was there a time today that it hit you more than, you know, more than normal, more than the initial reaction? Was there a, you know, like, I think my first thing was I was kind of in disbelief. I wouldn't say denial, but it's like it hadn't settled in. Maybe the state of shock for the majority of the morning, and I was like cracking off jokes when I could. But for me, it really sunk in. It kind of became a reality when Drew said to the reporters at practice today that AD was like 90% of the reason he chose to stay in New Orleans. And I was like, oh shit. Yeah. AD is gone.
Yeah. And I mean, to AD's credit, he's done this, at least externally, from what we can tell, he's done all this the right way.
We don't know that yet. So both Stein and Woj are tweeting that there is an ongoing investigation regarding how this has been handled, because apparently there cannot be an on-the-record request by an agent or a player for a trade. So Davis could end up being fined.
Yeah, and you know what? If that's the extent of the transgressions here, I don't really care, because I'd rather him do that.
It's funny. It's more popcorn.
Yeah. But I mean, seriously, until one of the first things I said this morning was that the only way I sour on Anthony Davis is if he, and it still could happen, like you said, is if he forces his way to one team. I don't really care if that team is the Lakers or if it's another team. And I mean, the most likely scenario, if he were to force his way to a team right now, looks like the Lakers, but it stands for any team. Just because of what that does to the Pelicans in terms of what they can hopefully recover in a trade. And so, I mean, he's doing all the right things by the Pelicans. I mean, that's what Clutch said in their statement. And so, again, not the AD's going about this, I think, the best way possible. But if that changes and it comes out that AD will re-sign with nobody but the Los Angeles Lakers, that's a big, big problem for the Pelicans. Until then, I think they can do okay in terms of trading him and kind of restarting with it in a new era. But man, if they get stuck dealing with the Lakers and their trash heap of mediocre assets, that's not good.
I want no part of the Lakers. I don't care. I don't care if he forces his way. I don't care if he says LA is the only place I'm ever going to go. I will take a literal trash bag before I send him to LA.
I'm pretty much with you. I mean,
I'm serious. I mean, like, it's like, okay, it's not, you know, like, we're not doing it out of spite. Okay, maybe I am doing it out of spite. But, like, no, their offer just sucks. I think there's, like, 15 teams in the league that can beat that. And then you add on the fact that it's L.A. You know, it's just like, I don't care. If Rich Paul wants to play those cards, you know, we're 2.5 years before – we're not 2.5. We're 18 months out from AD's, like, actual contract expiration. And, you know, 18 months out. As an NBA player, you will have an obligation to fulfill your contract, right? So 18 months out, you don't want to fulfill your contract. Okay, great, cool. We'll accommodate your request. We'll send you to a place that is ideally, you know, more competitive than the one that you've been in. Great. But if you try to pull some shenanigans where you're like, oh, LA is the only place I want to go, like, nah, all bets are off the table, then we're not playing that game.
Yep.
We're not going to negotiate from a position of weakness. We're not going to, you know, we don't buy that.
Yep.
So, you know, at that point, you know, like, all right, you know, you're not playing another game. Like, to me, I know you don't agree with this, but, like, you're not playing another game this season. You're sitting it out, and we're sending your ass to Boston or wherever. Like, I know you don't like the cold. I've been told that you don't like the cold. I don't care. Send you to Minnesota.
Oh man, that's brutal. And I think this is interesting. It's a good point you bring up about whether and like what the situation is for Anthony Davis, especially in the short term in New Orleans, because I think we disagree on this point. And so if the Pelicans, and I think they're like we both generally agreed that that the best offers will come in the summer, barring some sort of unexpected, at a left field deal by some team. It's Davis probably ends this season in New Orleans, and that if that's the case, you think that they should just not play him? Is that fair?
I mean, that's me. I don't want to play him. I want to lose as many games as possible. I don't want him to get injured. I know what our luck is like. You know, we're going to play some stupid blowout game that means absolutely nothing, and he's going to break his knee, and that's it. It's like, good luck trying to recoup that value. So it's like, why would I even tempt fate with that? Why?
So, yeah, so I have a couple points of pushback on that. One is, even if he does get hurt, if he breaks his knee or something like that, like the only injury that would actually depress his value is, or well, one is like something like an Achilles, like what Boogie had. And then second, something that's going to take him out for the bulk of next season. Obviously those are concerns, but number one is he hasn't really had a major injury like that in his career, knock on wood, obviously. But I mean, that's the minor point for me. The broader point, I think, is this the message it sends to the rest of the league? I think it would be kind of, maybe you can.
Well, what message does it send to the rest of the league?
It that you're just going to sit a top five player in his prime, even though he wants to play, just because you're trying to better your own draft pick.
You're trying to protect his value.
Yeah.
The draft pick is an added bonus, but it's a value play on both ends. Like, I don't see, like, Kawhi didn't play for a year for the
Kawhi
Spurs.
Kawhi was actually hurt, though. That's different.
Yeah, okay. I mean, he was
actually hurt. The other example I was provided recently was Bledsoe, but the Bledsoe was like a super early in the season thing, and they were going to trade him in season.
Well, even Jimmy Butler, they sat him out until they couldn't, because they couldn't get anything traded for him.
Again, if you, I don't think I've seen a situation like this where you're just going to shut down one of the best players in the world for 2 months because you're protecting your trade asset even or trade collateral, even though he wants to play. I just don't think it's good.
Cool. Well, okay. Well, then if we don't shut him down, then give him the Dirk treatment, playing like 15 minutes a game.
I think that's arguably worse because that hurts his per game averages, and that's something that players care about.
Again, I don't know. I just do not care about this at all.
I hear you.
I don't care about it from his perspective in any sense. I don't care what the league thinks. I only care about what is the single best thing for the Pelicans at this moment. And to me, the single best thing is to maximize AD's value. I know it's unrealistic. I know it's never going to happen. I know he's probably going to get 30 minutes a night. Okay. You know, I know I'd be flipping upset if you know they're playing in 41 trying to win some games. I would be so upset.
Yeah, there's a balance here for sure. You know, like I absolutely positively do not want him playing more than like 32 minutes per game anymore.
Yeah.
Like, the 40 plus night per games are
no. And him and Drew, like, no, there's no point, you know, like those guys should not be eclipsing those kind of minute totals. I do not care. But I think the Pelicans got to do what is in their single best interest, whatever it takes. Okay. I feel like this is a good time for a break for our sponsors. So we'll be back in a minute.
And if you're unlike me, you probably did make a New Year's resolution. If you're planning to eat better, exercise more, be more patient, kinder, or whatever, it all starts with a good night's rest. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the 4-pack special and enter my promo code COZY, and you'll get 2 premium MyPillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. It's amazing what difference a great pillow makes. If you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on their 4-pack, shipping is absolutely free. That's right, no shipping cost. Zippo, zilch, nada. And don't forget about their 60-day money-back guarantee. There is nothing better than the gift of restorative sleep. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 4-pack special, and use my code COZY to get 2 premium MyPillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. MyPillow.com or call 800-966-1472. And remember, my promo code can be used for any offer on MyPillow.com. Again, that's promo code COZY.
COZY. Shout out MyPillow. Shout out Pure. Welcome back. So before we discuss this Davis situation further, and particularly, you know, what kind of trades that we could possibly see, Mason, do you think that this current administration, this regime, is going to survive this impact?
You call it the administration, like we're talking about the
White House.
So I don't think so. I don't see it.
So how, okay, so you don't see it. Take it one step further. How far do you think they go when they, in terms of cleaning house?
Yeah, I mean, so the point here, it all gets back to what was the goal from day one that draft pick fell into the New Orleans lap in 2012? It was, we want to make Anthony Davis a lifelong Pelican. We want to win. We want to keep him for his whole Pelican. Hornet Pelicans career. They failed. That as of today is clear. And I think no matter how we arrived at this situation, we have enough data points in a 7-year stretch to say that this is a failure, and we need to, evaluate everyone who had a hand in this being a failure. And so I think everyone goes. I mean, I don't know as far as front office, I think everyone goes. I don't know enough to know all the different pieces in the front office and who, like, you don't just fire everyone to fire everyone. I mean, there's, you know who your capable people are. And I think the end result might be everyone going, but I think you've got to make mass changes.
So here's what I think. But yeah, let me see what I think, and then let me ask you the question later. I think I think you fire your main players. So who are your main players? Dell, whoever his number two is. I wouldn't go much past the number two. Alvin, I think goes. I would be hesitant to fire the assistants. I think I would leave it at that. Bring in a new GM.
So when are you doing this now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, why not?
I think I agree with you. Yeah.
I guess you could say like, Dell, you can go sell these pieces that you brought yourself, but it's like, what's the point? What's the point? Yeah. Because what if the new GM comes in and he doesn't like whatever these things were sold for?
Yeah. I mean, there's also the problem of, and I'm not saying Dell's going to be stuck in this kind of mindset, but there is sunk cost fallacy where you think that no matter what offers you're getting, maybe the offers aren't good enough, and then all of a sudden you're sitting there on the trade deadline and you haven't traded anybody.
Yeah, I mean,
It's a risk.
So, but the thing is, like, you bring in the new GM, you let him hire his own coach, and you let the coach make the decisions on the assistants. I mean, like, I'm a big fan of keeping Irm and Finch. I think those guys are quality NBA assistants, and I wouldn't say I know enough about assistants to say they're irreplaceable. I do think that they're highly valued, given that they were in demand for head coaching interviews this past summer, and the Pelicans kind of turned down those requests. So I think they're valued a lot around the league, but I do let the head coach bring in his own guy. I haven't, you know, this is not the pod or the place for us to discuss who those head coach candidates might be. That's for a future date. Same thing with the GM, you know, whether it's you're just promoting Ferry or bringing in someone else, you get your new GM, you let him get his hands on the roster and create his vision from there. Handle the trade, create the a GM that doesn't have any attachment to Davis, doesn't have any attachment to any of the pieces. It's just he can come in objectively. It's like, you know, like when you do a merger and acquisition, you hire like a third party company to assist you with that, right?
Yep.
And it's like that in multiple businesses. So I don't think it should be much different for the Pelicans. Just hire someone who is within the NBA. Don't bring in some retreads like Avery Johnson or Joe Dumars or
thank you
whoever guys that have been linked with the Pelicans in the past. Just don't even go that route. Just don't. But yeah, you know, you make your decision from there and then sort of move on. I wouldn't do a burn it to the ground situation. I do think there's a lot of good people in the Pelicans organization that can still produce things of value for the next administration, but I'd kind of leave it up to them. I'd fire the main players, replace them, and let them make the decisions on the smaller people.
I hear you, and I think burn it to the ground is easy to say in theory, but like I was trying to articulate during my last answer, in that I don't know enough to know who the smart people who should be retained are, and I wouldn't advocate tearing it down just for the sake of tearing it down. But yeah, I mean, the only thing the tough one for me is Gentry, because I wouldn't, like, in a vacuum, I would let him ride out the season. But if you know that you're going to let your new GM pick a new head coach next in the summer anyway, the firing Gentry might actually rally the fan base. Even, like, it's a scapegoat. I don't think he's, we always talk about percentage of blame to be shared among different parties. And I think he's still low on the totem pole. But I mean, you've got to do something to rally the fans in the time like this. And I think even if he's going to be a lame duck head coach, then you may as well just, put him out of his misery and try to get the fans a little more engaged.
Put him out of his misery. I don't think Alvin's miserable. I think Alvin's like, I'm 65, 67 years old, however old he is. He's making millions of dollars a year. He's in the NBA. I think Alvin's fine. Alvin's a cheery fella. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, people are like, oh, you're counting his money. No, like, I legitimately think Alvin's happy. I think Alvin said so himself. I think Alvin will be fine. I think he's an NBA lifer. He's going to find a place on a bench one way or another. Alvin will be fine. I am interested in, I really wouldn't mind if the next Pelicans team was coached by Chris Finch or Darren Erman. I wouldn't mind that. I don't think we have anything to lose, And unless I guess it depends on what you get back from AD, but if you kind of like have accepted the fact that at least for the next 3 years, you're just not going to be a good team, then does it matter? Does it really, really matter who's going to be the coach? It matters from a standpoint of culture and yada, 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 but like a lot of that's just winning.
Yeah. That's the key, right? What's the next step for this Pelicans organization? I mean, the first positive step that we just saw was the fact that they're putting everyone on the table, and everyone,
hell yeah,
Moore, Nico and Randall the one that surprised me was Nico, because them putting Nico on the table too, I guess, and Etuan, is they're just in pure sell mode. They're not even thinking about, potentially re-signing Nico or Moore, who's, he has got a year left after this one.
But think about Nico for a second. If you're Nikola Mirotić, you're 27 years old, you know, you came to the NBA from Spain, from a Spanish team to the Bulls, where you had a rocky tenure. You got traded to the Pelicans, which you didn't have a say in going to. And then all this happened. Like, why would you want to like, you could say, okay, like, you have Nico's bird rights, but like, if you're Nico Meritich, why would you resign here after this?
I mean, money. That's
yeah, that'd be the only reason. And if you're the Pelicans, why are you going to commit large money to him long term?
Well, that's kind of my point. Like, if you're going full reset, then I agree completely. But it depends on what the kind of move they're going to make, and if they want to kind of tread water here and put together some young guys who can win some games now, or just say, hey, let's hit the reset button and just get some assets and we'll go from there. And so I think this is the first step to thinking that maybe they are just going full reset button.
Yeah. I really think they can get a pick out of Nico. And, you know, when it comes down to pick versus keeping Nico, pick's probably a better option there.
What are you thinking?
I think Utah would throw in a first for Nico.
Okay. I'd absolutely sell Nico. It feels weird to say that. I would absolutely trade Nico for a first round pick. I mean, obviously you're not going to get a lottery pick for him, but I would trade him for a late first rounder.
I think Utah would. I think, does OKC have their pick this year?
Don't know.
I think Utah would for sure give a pick for him. I think they should too. I think that'd be a good team.
That would make sense for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, I think Utah would. I think there's probably several teams that'd make a play for
the
Nico.
The Celtics were, I think I read something, they were interested in him earlier in the season. So that's another.
The Celtics ain't giving us anything to. They're holding on. It's Anthony Davis or nothing for them. I mean, I think maybe the Nets can make a play for Nico, give us the Nuggets pick or even their own pick, because they have the Nuggets pick and their own pick.
Did you already start pulling the trigger on taking assets along with long-term contracts? Like,
Oh yeah.
So you're going to get Nick Batum from Charlotte.
I was on that board. I was on that train before we even, before AD even announced this crap.
Sure.
I mean, like, obviously I wanted a star from the get go, but we all know what happened. I had reached a point where I was like, yeah, I'm down to take crappy contracts for picks. Sweet. I'm okay with that. If Charlotte wants to send Nick Batum, and a pick, yeah. If we can walk away from this deadline with two picks and we haven't even traded AD yet, hell yeah. Even better.
So I've got a question for you, and I don't fully know what my answer is at this point, but we've seen a lot today, whether it's people who are in the know or just kind of throwing shit out there because they're inferring something that may not be reality. How do you change, or at least change the perception of the culture for this New Orleans Pelicans organization? So I think a lot of people, whether it's valid or not, just look at this team as the redheaded stepchild of the New Orleans Saints organization. And that was from day one when Tom Benson bought the franchise. That was my number one concern. I loved it for a lot of reasons, because there was no better guarantee for this franchise to stay in the city of New Orleans than the being bought by the guy who also owns the Saints. But the flip side was they would always be number two, or in the case of horse racing, number three, in his priority list. And so now that we're here, with Gail running the show, there's still this perception out there about the Pelicans organization. And do you have any thoughts on how you would start to at least change the way that fans look at this, the team relative to the Saints, what has to change?
Oh yeah, a bunch of thoughts. You know how the last podcast I said they can't afford me for the social media role? Well, you know, if they want some consultancy on this role, hey, reach out to me. You have my email. No, I think there's a few things they can do. I think first and foremost, they have to show a commitment to basketball in the city. So when they trade Davis, there's got to be a statement from Gail, from ownership, just kind of reaffirming the Pelicans are going nowhere. we're committed to winning. You know, we're going to do the best. We're going to try to build the best possible team. And they kind of already did that in today's statement, but I think there needs to be like a one that really highlights Pelicans and kind of staying in the city. Two, I think they need to hire an actual president of basketball operations, whether that is, you know, promoting someone like Ferry into that position, letting him hire a GM, even promoting Dell into that position, kind of taking away from GM duties. And you're like, you go hire a GM, whatever it is, a basketball person in that position who can then make decisions onwards to fill out the rest of the team.
I just one question on that point. I get concerned with the way you just explained the last part of that was, Dell Demps, you've been a failure. Here's a promotion. And I'm not even saying that would be a bad move for basketball reasons, but I think there would be an uprising among the small but passionate fan base of the Pelicans if that were to happen.
Sure. But like, I think it's an effective way to kind of take him out of the day-to-day decision-making, but still, you know, it's a way for them to not invest significant resources, because they don't do that. They don't invest significant resources. So they have a guy that they know is a known commodity, and they can be like, all right, you know, here it is. He's still not going to be ownership proxy or anything, but I do think ideally that guy is someone else, but I wouldn't be upset if they're like, we're going to take Dell. We're just going to take this out of your hands. You're the Pobo. And you hire a GM, you let him do stuff. And, you know, you kind of bring the sign off to us as ownership. And you kind of guide them on things you need to do. But like, ultimately, you know, GM's going to do what a GM's going to do. Kind of like, what did they try to do with Hinkie in Philly? Were they like,
make him a religious sort of deity?
Yeah, no, not that. You know, when they brought in Colangelo, like, they wanted to bring in Colangelo, but they like didn't want to fire Hinkie, and they were trying to like promote him away from the team or some shit. I don't know. There was some weird stuff going on there, but that's a little bit convoluted. In any case, get a president of basketball operations that knows basketball. Hire basketball people. Follow, I hate to say it, follow the Kings model. The Kings kind of washed all their stink away from them, right?
Did they?
Yeah. This okay. year?
I mean, sure. We're about a couple months in to a much better season for the Kings. I don't know. I mean, you still got Vivek and Vlade in charge, and I'm not saying that they're doing a bad job, but I just keep thinking about like the whole we're gonna get you to Buddy Hield thing, and just like it's still
that's corny, but like I think everyone's excited about the Kings, whereas in previously everyone was just waiting for the Kings to fuck up. And I think everyone's legitimately excited about the young core. But in any case, follow the model where you get young, exciting players who are just going to work, you know? Not guys that, you know, there's Zach LaVine's of the world who might be exciting, but, like, they come with other problems. And then there's, like, the Buddy Hield's of the world that are going to, like, work their tail off and are also exciting. So, like, get those guys that are going to work their tail off. Get guys that can contribute in multiple ways on the floor that work night in, night out. And finally, like, get a social media team who cares and can market. Yeah. I think
and
they can do it.
Twitter handles.
Oh, God. Yes, don't do that. but it's like, oh, we're going to steal it. We care. And then it's like, we're not really going to use it
we
that
don't
well.
Actually care.
We're not actually going to utilize it. But in any case, it needs to be a top-down approach for sure. And that starts from getting a Pobo who is empowered to make the correct decisions. And in this case, you know, you're under no illusion of trying to be win. Like, just don't even mention the words win now at all, ever. Yeah. Build a team. Like, don't make it corny, like trust in the process or something, but just be patient.
Yeah, and that's like why, you know, you said it starts from the top down, Pobo down. It starts from ownership down. Like, this is, like, if I could just, like, get up on my soapbox and provide a exclamation or a request to the Pelicans fan base. It's just that, like, it's about the culture, and you can go and blame one person, like the GM Dell Demps, for the Pelicans failures. You can be like, oh well, yeah, there are injuries to blame, but Dell Demps put this team together, and it's on him. It's it's never that simple. Like you said a little while ago, ownership is the biggest competitive advantage in the NBA. There, from the day that Anthony Davis ended up in New Orleans, there was this win now mandate, and the rest of the organization had to abide by that mandate. Dell Demps was operating, I believe, for a large portion of his tenure with one hand behind his back. Did he make mistakes? Absolutely. Omer, Solomon Hill, are you kidding? Like, those are two very bad signings. But there's also, you know, every draft pick trade that he made, I think, is defensible in a vacuum. Every single one of those trades. I think they range from below average to good in those deals.
Yeah, and the only thing you criticize him for not having a vision, but I put that squarely on ownership. You can't have a vision when ownership is telling you to do that, which brought me to the question I was going to ask you later, and I'd forgotten about it. At what point do you blame Mickey Loomis or whoever is empowering Dell? At what point, you know, like, I want a Pobo there, and that's what's Mickey Loomis' job, but at what point does the buck stop at the people who empower Dell? Because if they go out and hire the same people and tell them to do the same things, nothing's going to change.
Exactly. That's the real point I want people to take away from this, is that there are blame spreads throughout the entire organization. You can crucify one person like Dell because that's the easy way to go, or you can realize that it's a broad problem that started with the Pelicans doing whatever they could to be as good as possible as quickly as possible. And there, you can take steps to do that, but you have to have some sort of longer term vision in mind. And all that was reinforced was go win games, and that cost the Pelicans. And again, yes, there were injuries. Obviously the Eric Gordon thing was a disaster from the start, but there were also players who got hurt that by freak injuries that no one saw coming. You know, Ryan Anderson's one. The Sixers withheld information on Jrue Holiday and got fined $3 million for it. I mean, there are other factors outside of the control of the franchise that definitely had a negative impact on the trajectory. However, they're just, blame goes everywhere. It's not, just don't put this on one person. Put this on just a team failure.
Okay, so we're running a little bit short on time. I want to still cover a few topics. I'm kind of going to make it rapid fire for the rest of this podcast, okay?
Sure.
Anthony Davis is traded by February 7th, true or false?
False.
Okay. Why?
You're not going to get the best offers. I mean, I'm like 90% sure he's staying till the end of the season. There, you could get blown away by some crazy offer who just doesn't want to risk it. And what I thought was interesting in the Woj column was the notion that a team could trade for AD and then try to flip him again in the summer if he doesn't want to re-sign. That's a possibility, but I think he stays.
Okay. Who would blow you away if they could offer you something right now for Davis?
Philly is number one. Apart from that, I don't know. You and I talked about
New York, New York.
Give me your Knicks trade.
New York. Welcome to the Big Apple. No, hell yeah. I want Chris Stapps. I want Kevin Knox. I want Frank Nicotine. I want Mitchell Robinson. And send me all your trash salary. Send me Tim Hardaway. Send me Courtney Lee. Send me whatever garbage you got that I don't want. Take Anthony Davis. Take all of our expirings. Send me that pick, unprotected. Send me any other picks you want to send me. I do that trade right now. Chris Stapps. I mean, the core of it is Chris Stapps, Kevin Knox, and that pick. But send me more stuff, and we'll take on your crap salary. And give me all them draft picks, and then we can go turn around and trade Nico for a draft pick, and trade whoever else is left.
Interesting because I didn't think about the notion if they also send all the crap salary, like, hey, send us KP, send us the pick, Knox, and also your trash, because then you can have room for a second max player alongside KD and AD.
That's the sell. Sure. You take all their garbage, and then you're basically like, all right, you know, New York, go do your Miami Heat thing that you know LeBron and all them did. AD is going to go bring in Kyrie and Kevin Durant, and y'all are going to have fun. Great. Someone's probably going to have to take a little bit less than a max, but I mean, whatever. That's on them. That's on them to figure out, and they can talk themselves into it. But yeah, no, I mean, I do the Knicks trade today. If they offered me all that, I mean, I would. In fact, not even that. I would reach out to them. I would be like, hey, I'll take all your crap salary. Give me your assets, every single one of them.
And I think it's got to be before the deadline, because then his Porzingis extension kicks in, right? Or if he signs it.
Did they did they officially agree to one? Or weren't they like debating, like, oh, we're not going to offer him? Wasn't there like some rumors that like Knicks are weighing whether to offer Porzingis a full max or not?
Yeah, there's no signed offer. So I mean, but I think that becomes pretty tricky once you get to the summer. So I think it would almost have to be before the deadline.
Sure.
Especially with to make salaries work.
Sure. Yeah. So
take all their trash.
That's the trade I do. Like, give me the New York Knicks. Obviously Philly, I'd do in a heartbeat if they put Ben Simmons in the Miami pick on the table. But you know, there was a report, Kersane, saying that Philly may not be interested and Boston might not be all that appealing to Davis because Kyrie might want out. And it's like, first of all,
I wonder where that came from.
Yeah, I don't give a crap what's appealing to Davis. I've already said that. And two, who does it benefit to say, oh, Kyrie might want out and Philly might not be interested? Who does that benefit?
I can't think of a team.
Wow.
Or an agency or a player that would matter for.
Wow, LeBron. Wow. Try to be less obvious, buddy. Yeah, so in any case, I don't – anyone who says that this team is not interested is lying. Every team is interested. Anyone who says that they know what the Pels are going to take or offer is lying, because we don't know who's going to make that move.
Yep.
So everyone's lying at this point. Everyone's a big fat liar, including AD. He doesn't want out. He's staying. Okay, so the final question I'm going to ask is, do you trade Drew?
Same condition applies to...
And by trade Drew, I mean I'll give you one full calendar year up to next deadline.
I think you do right by Drew in the sense that I play it like I would play the AD situation. If you get blown over by an offer and it's to a good situation for Drew, I mean, his contract takes him through his prime. And I respect and admire Drew as a player, so as a competitor, so much. And I would love him to stay in New Orleans until the day he retires. But at the same time, depending on the route the Pelicans take, I don't want him sitting here through a rebuild at his stage of his career. So I kind of let him and him plus the offers that pop up dictate that situation.
I keep Drew. Drew, I love you.
No matter what?
Yeah, like, Drew, I love you. I'm selfish. I want to keep you. I know you want to be on a better team. But at some point, like, you got to stop letting players bend you over and get what they want. They signed a contract.
A big one in Drew's case. So your point's well taken.
Yeah, a lot of money. They gave him a lot of money, up to $150 million with incentives, you know? You signed a contract. If you ask out, like, I get it. I know why you want out. But, like, we're going to try to make this work. And then at the very last moment, you know, at the end of his contract, I would consider trading him. But within one calendar year, no.
Yeah. I also don't think Drew is the kind of guy that's going to ask for that.
No.
So I don't think the Pelicans' hand will be forced in that scenario. But if it seems like it's something that he would like and there's a deal that totally blows you over, then I think you consider it.
Yeah, I just think Drew's going to be such a big part of moving forward, depending on who we get. Because, like, you get Chris Stapps, great starting point. You get Tatum, great starting point. Drew fits in seamlessly with those guys, along with whatever crap that you're going to get by selling these players. It's just, I mean, it'd be great if we get it'd be great if we get players who can actually play, like Batum, rather than, like, Biyombo. But, you know, we'll see. I think, I guess I might reevaluate depending on how the next few weeks shake out. Yeah. But I want as many picks as I possibly can. Sell everything you can. Get a couple picks on the open market. Tank the value of your own pick. So you're looking at three picks already. You know, Pelicans' own being top 10,
and then, you know, two, like, probably, like, in the mid-teens or 20s. And then whatever you get back from AD, like, you just go off of that. And then you trade all those picks for Bradley Beal.
And appropriate.
And we sign off on this podcast. Thanks for listening to this sad episode of In the Know.
Hey guys, it's Mike. As you know, I adopted my pup Rocky from a local rescue. Now, when people asked me what kind of dog Rocky was, I was always stumped. I used an Embark dog DNA test to decode my most puzzling questions about Rocky. You can also learn about your dog's inner secrets with Embark, the highest rated dog DNA test. Unlock over 350 breeds and screen for over 200 genetic health risks. Save $50 on a breed and health kit with promo code KIT at EmbarkVet.com. Again, that's promo code KIT.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.